Today's episode of Trackin' Food on the Mid-Range Podcast Network is brought to you by Scout. If you're wanting to learn more about Vancouver's food and cultural sphere with regards to community news, new restaurant openings, essential guides to some of the city's best offerings, as well as who's hiring, Scout is where you should go. You can find them at scoutmagazine.ca. That's scoutmagazine.ca. And if you're on Vancouver Island, they also have a sister website called Islandist. Same type of content, only island-driven. That's islandist.ca. We're proud to have Scout as our presenting sponsor, as we believe what they scout out is an excellent complement to what we're offering here on Trackin' Food. Do check them out. Once again, that's scoutmagazine.ca. Welcome to the Trackin' Food Podcast. You're joining us on a very, very beautiful Tuesday afternoon. My name is Jamie Maha. I am your host as always. And joining me with a very, very good haircut today is my co-host, Michael McLeod. How are you today, Michael?
What's up, y'all?
Today is a very special day, Mickey. Today is our 50th episode.
50th episode. We have climbed the mountain, half of the century mark. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and we're in our 40s, so we're probably going to hit that number pretty quickly here. So, and it's...
Yeah.
But 50. When we started this, I didn't think we'd hit this number, but I'm very, very proud of what we've done. I'm very happy. Our last episode was with David Eby, which was fantastic, and we urge anyone out there to check that out. We're very, very thankful that he was willing to come on. That's the Attorney General of BC, and recently saw that they've extended the delivery for restaurants, so the restaurants still can deliver... alcohol during this time right now, so which is good, and they can still have it as takeout and stuff like that, so it's a very good thing. I'm glad his office extended that, but today's episode, we were very fortunate to have a wonderful guest today. We had a great conversation with this lovely lady from the Diamond, the GM of the Diamond, Leticia Castro. Beautiful woman, she's fantastic, big-hearted. If anybody's ever been to the Diamond, you've probably seen her there a million times over. Huge smile, and yeah. How was that? That was pretty fun. I had a lot of fun having her on today.
Yeah, she's also, besides from being beautiful and wonderful and super intelligent and thoughtful,
yeah,
and had a lot of great, awesome things to say about not only what's happening in the world today, but just perspective on just life in general. I felt very privileged to have that conversation with her. She's awesome.
Yeah, go to the Diamond, check it out. We're very excited those guys are open, even though I don't think they're better than my bar, but they came one spot ahead of us and came as top 50, but that's okay. I'm just bugging. Today's episode, Leticia Castro from the Diamond, general manager there. Do check them out. Fantastic place. One of the best cocktail bars in Canada. We highly recommend anyone go there. It's here in Vancouver in Gastown. And we hope you enjoy the episode.
And also don't forget to check out our website, midrangevancouver.com. You can check out all of the writing from the crew on that webpage, Jamie's stuff, as well as Tristan Young's stuff, some of the photography work by Dan, really interesting stuff. Tristan just posted something on a really, really kind of polarizing video game called Last of Us, which has, you know, kind of set the internet on fire. So if you've played that game, check out his post about it. It's really informative and thoughtful. I'm actually going to play the game. Shout out to Tristan for lending me your PlayStation 4. You can check out my other podcast that I do called Beats on Repeat. We just posted an episode featuring all of our Black American content. So check that out and all the other stuff.
I think that's actually one of your guys' best episodes, by the way.
Thanks, man.
When I was listening to it the other day. So.
I mean, it's yeah, the film is Juice is amazing. If you've never seen that film,
Tupac.
Check out Juice. Yeah, pre-Tupac's music career. Like he was writing Tupacalypse at that time, but he hadn't yet gone into stardom. So super, super cool.
Look for that soon. Check it out. Beats on Repeat. Find it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you get your stuff. As obviously, as Mickey just said here, midrangevancouver.com. As well, with this podcast, you can find us on Scout Magazine. And enjoy this episode with Leticia. She's fantastic. Leticia Castro, how are you doing today? Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, guys. I'm really good.
Hello.
I'm really good. Thanks for having me. This is really exciting.
Oh, no, this is very exciting for us. This is, Mickey, this is episode 50.
Episode fucking 50.
50.
I never thought we'd make it.
50.
Yeah. Damn. With you.
And we have this lovely, lovely lady today joining us. Joining us from the Diamond, one of the best cocktail bars in
the city. Shout out to Diamond.
However, I work at the Fairmont Pacific Rim. I work in the lobby lounge. The Canada's top 100 came out about a month ago. They released their top 50 bars in Canada. My bar came 39th. Her bar came 38th. She is not better than us. She may think she is, but
I mean, I feel like that's what people are saying, though.
That's the only reason why I got her on today, because I just want to just chew her out and say, you are not better than us.
You just want to take notes and know what's the secret.
I know this is a trap.
Yeah, totally. It's nothing about music, is it?
What are you guys doing? What are you guys doing that's so much better than us, huh? Why are you guys better than us? One spot.
I think, honestly, we've been around for so long and we are just so just connected with the community so much. You know, I feel like it's cool having a place where you have people come back throughout the years. And even though things change a little bit, we still keep the edge and the core. You know, so I'm
You think you're cool enough.
I think we're really cool.
Well, one of the first cocktail bars in the city, right?
It is the first one.
Yeah, it's the first one.
It's the very first one.
Yeah,
okay.
Diamond opened up in, I think, June of 2009.
That's right, yeah.
I think June 24th, am I correct?
That's correct, yeah.
So last year we went to the 10-year anniversary party, you remember?
I was there. I was having a really good time.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, you know what, it was so funny though? I literally like was really good into like maybe 7 or 8. That day. And then after that, I was like, woo, and party started. And then I saw a lot of people the days after, and I kept being like, oh my God, I wish you guys were there. And they're like, we were there. I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I maybe didn't see you.
Josh took off his t-shirt.
I think he was chanting hardcore for that.
He bartended with his shirt off.
I was like pushing for that for a while.
That's Josh Pate, by the way. Yeah.
Well, what's up, guys? If you're listening, Josh and James. But also, what's funny about that is we actually recorded with Josh and Ron Oliver the very next day after that party.
Actually, I listened to that one.
Yeah. Was it the next day? It was the day after.
It would have been the day after because Pape's birthday was on the 25th.
His birthday was the next day. And he came in the next day and he was sitting exactly where you're sitting.
He was a little green.
And he kind of gave us a look. He's like, I don't know why I'm doing this right now. I think I'm still kind of, you know, a little bit. I think I still have some alcohol remnants in my system. But
probably helped.
Yeah. It's possible. But we're industry. There's always a little bit of alcohol in our system.
He's a father now. He's got a cute little baby. So
yeah,
true. George.
Which I met at the grand opening. 1 week ago ish.
2 weeks now. Yeah, 2 weeks.
2 weeks ago, man. Time flies.
Crazy. So coming into third week.
Which we met. Sorry. We were there.
So to have a conversation about that today, how are things for you guys so far? How are things at Diamond so far?
It's been really good, actually. We're feeling really blessed that, you know, at first it was a little bit of a weird thinking. And I think when you get, you know, everything set, and I'm sure you just open up as well, so you probably relate. It was way more complex on paper than it was actually in action. So we felt a lot like the Diamond, you know. This past weekend, we were as busy as we could be. People felt safe. You know, the staff is feeling safe. We have quite a lot of regulars coming back. I think the cool thing about the Diamond, we've always been like a very regular-based place. So we have familiar faces throughout the years that come back all the time. So we had lots of room for that. That's always my number one priority, really. And then we open more for reservations now. So we were getting quite a lot of new faces. So this past weekend, there's a blend of like, you know, friends, family, regulars, and then tons of new faces as well. So it's been really good, actually.
Was there a big thing for you guys thinking about like how we're going to restart this? How are we going to bring the team back? How are we going to, you know, how we want to make sure everyone feels safe? Was that a huge process for you guys? Was that a really kind of a detailed thing? Was something that you guys had to sit down and like really plan out? And what was the whole thing for you guys? Like, what was the whole process to you guys? Like, how did... I understand like every restaurant goes through it and every restaurant has gone through it. And like, especially seeing what we're going through down south right now in the United States, how restaurants are closing again.
Yeah.
How has it felt for you guys to be open again and like come together and be a part of the community again?
Yeah, of course. I think you guys probably noticed we took a little longer to do that. May 19th, I think, was when they lifted the restrictions and places were able to open again. And we took our time. And I think the biggest thing for me was to make sure first that we were all safe to do so and that we had all the resources that we needed in place. Lots of financial planning. So like sitting down, checking costs, making sure that we were able to actually make it happen, because for the longest time, being closed for like, you know, 2.5 months, obviously, like, you got to revisit a lot of things and make sure that, you know, even Gastown, like, our neighborhood was so different, you know, like, you went back to, I don't go to Yaletown myself, but like a lot of friends that did, or friends that worked in Yaletown, that neighborhood, like, kind of like came up again. And there's all this liveliness in there. And like Gastown, on the other hand, wasn't really like that at all. And I think that was a big part, like sensing the waters, making sure that we could like just take a stand and watch before we took any like leaps. Yeah. And once he felt right, we, you know, gathered myself with my lovely owners and we just decided like, okay, can we do this? How can we do this? Luckily, my staff is very loyal. They're amazing. And I was in touch with them throughout the whole thing. And, you know, I didn't really have to lose any staff. Like, we have a very small team as well, to keep that in mind.
So you were able to bring everyone back?
Pretty much, yeah.
Wow, that's
the
amazing.
Only people that didn't come back were people that actually moved back home.
Right.
So we had a couple newer-ish servers that moved back home, and that was it. And everyone else, my core team, is all there. And so, yeah. And then we did it. And like I said, like, at first it felt like, oh my God, is this like, how is this going to feel? You guys being there, like, it feels nice, right?
It was great.
Yeah.
I love it. I mean, I still will stand by this. I think that room, the Diamond, is like probably the nicest room in the city when it comes to going for like late night cocktails.
I wish it was my apartment.
Yeah, it's amazing. I'm a Taurus and I have a huge affliction for green. So nice. When I walk in there, I remember the first time I walked in, I saw that wall. I was like, yeah. And then I saw like my good friends, Todd and Megan, when I grew up in Saskatoon, they opened up a bar back in 2011. And they bought the same chandelier that you guys have at the Diamond.
Oh, yeah.
And they put it up in their bar.
Oh, dope, yeah.
And that bar was only open up in Saskatoon for like 5 years. And they eventually sold it. But when they sold it, the people who bought it, they were like, I was like, keep the chandelier, keep the chandelier, keep the chandelier.
Did they keep it?
No. And so they were selling it. My buddy Todd was like, yeah, I'll keep it. Don't worry. And the people who were buying it, they were like, we'll give you whatever you want. We're going to give you what you want for this.
Yeah.
We want the chandelier. And I was like, fuck. I was like, fuck. Because that chandelier is so dope. Anyways, yeah. When I walk in there, every time I walk up the stairs, and walking up the stairs at Diamond is like this thing. It's like this, you walk up and you're like, you know, you're going to walk into like a really just kind of like a fun atmosphere.
It's like a hidden gem. Really is. Like, I'm never going to forget. And this is legit. The first day that I went in for my interview, do you remember back in the day, like Tony, like the Frenchies?
Yeah.
So Tony dated Julia. Friend of mine.
Dated Julia?
For a bit. And that's how I got my job at the Diamond. So he was like, I was working this tiny like Vietnamese place off Robson, like Chow. Loved it. And he was like, why don't you come work with us? So I remember walking up the stairs and just being like, holy damn, I'm not going to be able to work here. They're not going to let me work here. Like, I'm not this good. Like, I was just like blown away by the room and like super like sheltered and thought like I'm not that great. And yeah, and then I started working there and I fell in love with it.
She just fell down the stairs.
She did. I saw her the day after.
We were there.
And I was like, I went to her house and I was like, ugh, what happened? Like,
okay?
And she's fine. But you know, Julie's such a tough chick. She's like, she can probably fall from an airplane and be fine. Just like,
we were sitting there and having drinks, hanging out. And then she left and all of a sudden someone came up to us. It was like, what, a week ago? A week ago, and someone comes up. He's like, I think your friend just fell down the stairs.
I went over and I was like, really? Jamie, wow. I was like, where's Julian? He's like, she fell down the stairs. I'm like, no, for real. He's like, no, she just fell down the stairs. And I was like, what? He's like, she fell down the stairs. I was like, what? Oh, God.
Damn.
Yeah, she's good, though. She's good, everyone.
Not laughing, happy that happened. I'm just like, I was like, holy shit, what?
Yeah,
it is a long stairwell, though. Like,
and you know what? I got to tell you.
Does that happen often?
No, I was just going to say that. So I've been there for 8 years now, coming up, and she was the third person that fell. And everyone else that has before were friends.
Yeah.
And were friends that were there drinking when we're cashing out or closing up. And luckily, everybody's
nobody's ever hurt themselves?
No. I think the amount of alcohol people consume before they go down the stairs too kind of saved their lives. You know, like, if that makes sense. Like, for those
they just kind of went with the flow. Yeah, I've heard that before, that when you don't overthink, like when you do fall, instinct is to, like, you know, protect yourself.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's the best, like, just to go dummy and, like, go like, numb, right?
But do you ever have it? Like, I mean, you must see this at the Diamond, because you guys, the one thing about, like, going to a classic great cocktail bar is, like, if you go to a pub or if you go to, like, a place that does wine, it's slower to get drunk.
Yeah.
You know, it's totally slower to get on beer. It's, you know, it's less alcohol. But when you drink cocktails, you get straight into cocktails. you've probably seen people go from like zero to like, holy shit, this person's wasted.
I have a policy there with everyone where I don't allow anyone to like order more than one drink at a time. And I'm pretty good at like spacing it out within like keeping it hospitable and friendly and obviously like making the guest happy. But
we have to make a safe environment too, right?
That's exactly it. And I think I've had experiences in the past of noticing that because cocktails are really boozy. So people can easily, like, I can easily crush a million daiquiris. And you're like, woo, you know, and people do the same. But, like, we drink more often. We're around that circle. We're like, it's our culture a bit more. If someone that never had a cocktail, they get super excited. And the next thing you know, they're way drunker than they expected to be. And then their night's ruined, you know, like, and it's not safe anymore.
My friend Megan's like that. So she doesn't drink often. But when she does, she loves cocktails.
Yeah.
She loves like daiquiris and stuff and like little coupes and little glasses and she'll drink them and then all of a sudden, you know, she'll have two or three and then she'll look at me and I'm like, oh.
She's like rad.
Well, no, she gets really lively and she's really shy and she just gets like,
oh,
cute, super
that's cute.
Cute,
yeah.
But then she gets like this energy and you see it in her eyes and I'm like, uh oh.
Yeah.
I'm like, her husband, I'm like, Todd, I'm like, oh, we got to slow this down.
Yeah. Have some water. Yeah.
Well, I train like everyone that I have working there, like the surfers, we train them in like looking for looking for
like signs.
Signs of like intoxication, right? Like ways to like start reading your guests a little bit better and how to deal with it when they do get to a point where you have to give them a few minutes before they can order another drink. Yeah.
We still have that. I remember when I was working like 2006, 2007, we had a 2-drink minimum before you had to eat food. Is that still a thing?
That's done.
Yeah, I was going to say,
bring that back.
That used to be, when I worked at Chilwinson, that was a thing.
At Chilwinson, that's right. OG.
That's how I came to learn about the Diamond. I remember the opening day. I was working on the bar at Chilwinson, staring at you guys, and all I could do is, I just heard everything.
Yeah.
I wasn't there, but I heard everything.
I can't imagine the opening day because
it was so loud. Well, the patio was busy at Chilwinson that day,
yeah.
And then Diamond was just like this thing, and everyone's like, "Yeah, the new cocktail bar opened up across the street," and you stare at it, and it's like, "Yeah, it's weird." When I go to Gastown, as someone who's lived here for 11 years, when I walk through Gastown, I still love it. I still love the energy and the feeling, and you know, obviously, I pass by it all the time when I'm on the way to work at the Fairmont, and you know, I look at Peckinpah and I look at 6 Acres and I still sometimes miss having Bonita and going to that old room. And then I look at you guys and you guys are kind of like definitely the OGs and you go Blarney Stone, you got Laboratoire. But it's like, it's changed in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. It feels different.
Definitely different vibe.
Like how so?
Well, it feels different in the sense that like it doesn't feel like my neighborhood anymore. It felt like my neighborhood at one point, especially when I worked at Chilwinson and I'd go to Gilt's and, you know, and you would go, I'd go up to the Diamond, I'd go to all these places, and it still feels like that, but it's definitely changed. I mean, you've been working, how long have you been at Diamond now? 8 years?
8 years. Yeah. So, I've noticed that too.
Yeah. Does it feel different to yourself?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. Like, I mean, when I started working there, Bonita was still around.
Yeah.
So I remember going get like Americanos for myself, Ron, and the whole staff. I was the new girl, so I would all send out with like, you know, doing your duties kind of thing. But yeah, it was definitely a different neighborhood. And I feel like there's a different sense of community back then too that it still exists now, but just different, if that makes sense, you know? And I think it's kind of what you're saying, like you take so much ownership when you're there so much, right? So for me, like Gastown is like my second home. I'm always around there, but like it's definitely like a different crew than before. You should be like, you know, you had like your characters that come through and everybody knows them and they still go to all the bars and it's like a little tiny like group of people and they hit up all the spots and like, and then you finish work and you go meet up with them after or they come to a bar and you close, like there's all this kind of thing and that doesn't really exist so much anymore, I feel. Or even the cheeky culture. I used to like, Ron actually took me to go get a cheeky on one of my first shifts with Sean Layton and like Laboratoire.
That was a big thing when you guys started.
Yeah, and I was shocked. I was like, I can drink at work? Like, I don't think we... And he's like, yeah, we deserve it. And I was like, and then like my manager's like giving me shots. I was like, I don't want to be fired. Well, I'm like, no, you deserve this. I was like, why?
Yeah.
Like,
for Global Group, it was called the shitty. You do a
shitty.
And it was very much encouraged.
A
and
what?
So a shitty. Shitty vodka. Yeah. So they would get one appeal to working for Global Group would be that you have like an endless supply of shitty vodka. So it switched from like Pinnacle to like whatever. And you're not only encouraged, but you're expected as a manager to do at least two shots with regulars, right? That's just the culture. And it's like, you know,
yeah,
get lubed up a little bit and
lubed
feeling
up.
Good. And so like, you know, the cheeky is like, it's like, yeah. Well, it doesn't have to be a shot. You can do like a tiny beer.
That's how he was.
That's Ron's thing, beer. Like the tiny drink.
Mickey,
yeah. It's just a little one.
It's a tiny one. And then you go everywhere. You go to like Bonita for one. You go to L'Abattoir for one. And then they'll exactly. come to you as well, you yeah. know? And like,
well, I remember that because I worked at Chosen. Yeah. They would come, the bar team from like L'Abattoir, like you guys would come in. They'd be like, hey, we're just here for like a quick little shot mm. and all this stuff. And I'm like, and I'd be looking, I'm like, and then I look at my boss. I'm like, can we do this? And he's like, no. And I'm like, oh.
But you know what? I got to say though, on defense of the not doing it, he was great and he lived through that time and he was perfect for then. But like, it's something that I personally have changed myself. Like, I don't drink myself very much anymore. And I feel like it's a much better environment for my staff too. You know what I mean? Like, I don't not allow them to do a shot here and there, but if they ask and stuff, but I really think it's better that way than like the other way around. Like, I remember back in the day, it was just all of us. I'm sure you can all relate it. Like, you know, you're able to work under like so many shots and you're just pulling through and it was great. You know,
but yeah, you become used to it. Yeah. That's just how you work.
Did you have a wild couple years there? You don't strike me as someone who would drink a lot.
No, I never been. Like, I don't get me wrong, I can drink. Like, I love, like that night that I saw the Kiefer, I probably had like 10 scotches there.
That was the first time we actually kind of formally met.
That's like a black hole.
No, but I love it. Like, I love sipping on it. And I'm very, like, I'm old now. So I'm very good at like, okay, get some water going. Get, like, I'm always like balancing myself, but I enjoy the taste. So I like sipping on things. But yeah.
Mickey, she says she's old. Really?
Like, well, older than I was before.
We're all getting older, of course.
She's a baby.
You can never compare how young or older because you never get old. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're never.
Yeah, but 8 years this in the oldest restaurant I've ever industry been. Oh, but, is a long time. For most people, don't spend a long time in the restaurant industry. Right?
We're old. Yeah. She's a baby.
Right, but we're talking about experience, not age.
I've
right?
been, I've been in it for like 13 years.
You're 32?
14 years. What is that?
You're 32?
32, yeah.
Yeah, so if you get in the restaurant industry when you're like 16.
Yeah.
And then
that's it. Yeah.
Comparatively, your experience is the same as someone who just.
No, I get it.
You know, goes right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
thank you. I think that's a compliment, Jimmy. Yeah. Thank you for that.
That was cute. She's like, I'm old. I'm like, oh my God, you're not old.
Every time I say that, you're like, oh God. But you know what? I'm actually glad that I had the years that I did. Like, I've done it all as far as like, you know, I've gone through my party phase. I've always been very responsible at work. So I think from like the party times back in the day of the Diamond, I was like just putting my tiptoe in it. Like, I never was like full on, but like, you know, there's always staff parties, right?
Yeah. Oh,
we need some sort of release, right? Yeah. Well, the industry we work in is very, it's mentally demanding, which we've covered a lot. And like the whole rise of mental health, not only in our industry, but every industry across the world and the celebrity world, like the sports world. So we deal with a lot of, you know, which we've talked about on the show a lot of mental stress that we have to release in some way. But I agree, it's not like it used to be.
No, and honestly,
and it shouldn't be like it used to be.
And I honestly wouldn't be able to be doing it still if it was still that way, to be legit, like, to be fair.
Like, going from working, when I worked at Chowinson, we would like, I'd work on a Friday night and I'd have 6 or 7 shots of Jameson's or whatever that night. And, you know, I'd come home and I'd be like, why am I drunk? Or why do I feel this way? And all stuff. And I, you know, it's part of the, it felt, it was kind of part of the culture. But now that I work at the hotel, we're not allowed to drink at all.
Yeah.
And I've been there for almost 9 years now. And
nine years, crazy. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And I love it.
Wow.
I love, like, if you were to ask me right now, like, I'd rather work
it's
in an environment. Like, like, I don't drink at work. We're not allowed to drink at work.
Yeah.
And I love the idea, like, when I go to work, I'm not going to feel drunk. I'm not going to get drunk.
Yeah.
I know that's, you know, and that's definitely a very adverse thing for a lot of the culture. I mean, a lot of the culture of what we do and where we work in is drinking and being, you know, drinking, socializing with your guests and stuff like this. And guests ask me all the time, like, you know, do you want to, can I buy you a shot? Can I do this and this and this?
All the time.
And I love being able to just be, because I think you work better, obviously, but obviously just like,
100%.
You know, it's a, you know, especially like if we were to talk about your place, I mean, being a cocktail bar. And coming back from COVID and all this stuff and like with your employees and all this stuff, is that something that's really been for a big thing for you guys? Is like being able to kind of stick to your morals and be this great place and stuff. And you were talking about this earlier, like you were talking about mental health right now. It's like, how was everyone's mental health coming back from all this stuff? Like, what were your staff saying about everything? Like,
I think honestly, like, and I'm always careful to share this because I think we're in such a privileged place in the world and we can say that we've had like a great time off, you know what I mean? Like for a lot of people. So people were good. Like, I think there's a couple of us that kind of related to the, you know, like for me, for example, I'm this very busy person all the time. And like my first month off, I was keeping busy in different ways and creating different routines. But after that, I was kind of like, kind of ready to go back, you know, like, and I think a lot of this staff kind of was feeling that way too. And not just that, they were like back to work, but also some of them were away with their families. So they kind of like took that time for themselves and they came back very positive. Like I didn't really have, some of them were saying that they had too much to drink during it. And I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that. But yeah, they were great. And everybody felt like excited to be back, you know, and they wanted to work. They wanted to be there. And yeah, I think it was like a weird forceful break for everyone to like maybe reinvent themselves. Some of the girls, like one of my servers, she's super creative and she like made these amazing postcards with pictures of herself. Like cutely, like she's from the island. So she went to the island and she like sent that to all of us. And I was like, oh my God, like you're so, this is amazing. Like this is what you're doing with your time, like painting and doing all this writing. So I think a lot of people like took good advantage of it. Of course, circumstances were not ideal, but I think they did the best that they could with the time they had.
Yeah.
What about you guys?
Yeah, that's something that personally me, I obviously had that moment because I'm like, as stated many, many times, the reluctant hospitality person. Like, I don't think I have that passion for hospitality that I think a lot of people do and a lot of people that we've met doing this show especially. I love it. I love what I do, but I just kind of fell into the industry. And then now that I'm in the hotel world, it's like you'd be insane to leave the hotel world. But I had that.
Is that right? Should I leave? Just kidding.
Yes. Yes. Join us.
The dark side.
The dark side.
But no, a lot of people I've talked to as well have kind of used this time to have some personal reflection and be like, do I really want to stay in this industry? Right? Because the fact is that our industry is forever changed. Like, yeah, we came back and like, I've even seen a lot of people on Instagram being like, well, all right, the first week was great, but now where are the fucking guests, right? So there's still COVID hanging over our heads and there's still no vaccine and there's still a bunch of stuff going on and there's still all these implementations and speculation going on. So I had that personal thought, like, should I just like go back to school or do something else, right? And I've talked to a lot of people who have.
Totally.
And then that in turn makes you think that what's happening right now has never happened in our lifetimes and our parents' lifetimes. You know, it's a sign from the universe, like maybe.
Oh, 100%. Everybody's like, what does this mean? You know, right? Yeah, totally. But
then everything comes back to normal and we all go back to work and it's like, oh, well,
you get back at it.
My job. Yeah. Right? So I personally had that experience and some people I've talked to. I don't know what about you.
No, I mean, I thought about that for a while there. I mean, I've thought about the other things that I would want to do in the industry and all this stuff. And, you know, the only other thing I would ever want to do is what I'm doing now. So I love journalism and I love.
Yeah, exactly.
Media. And you have a great schedule. Too,
yeah.
I remember.
I do have a good schedule right now. But then I thought about it and I was like, but I love what I do. Like, I think I'm one of those people who works in the industry who actually is like, I like what I do. I like my job. I like working with people. I like working in the industry. I like talking, you know, I like my job. You know, I'm one of those people who's like, you know, when people talk about like, you know, I think Chris Rock did this. He's like, if you're one of those people who has like a career versus a job, he's like, when you have a job, there's too much time. When you have a career, there's not enough time.
Right.
And so I'm one of those few people, I'm like, when I go to work, it doesn't feel like work. I mean, it's still work and it's not perfect, but I like what I do. I like my job. I like working in the hotel. I like working in the industry. I like serving people. I like engaging. I like making people happy. And I mean, if you've known me at all, anybody who knows me at all, I love entertaining people. I like having people come to my house.
You're really good with that.
I like being that person.
Yeah.
And then doing this on the side is great. So I like my work. I like the balance of the two. And, you know, it's this, what you're talking about, the idea. It's like, you just went back to work this week. You know? Congratulations.
Thank you.
How does that
So it was really, you know? It's fucking eerie as hell.
Especially at the airport, huh?
You walk into the airport. And you can look down the terminal.
Oh my God, the airport. That's right. The airport right now is like
There's no noise.
That's right.
There's no people. Everything is closed. You can be like inside the terminal and like hear the wildlife outside.
It's closed?
It's crazy.
I thought stuff's open.
There's 8 flights a day right now that are
eight?
Flying.
Eight. The entire airport.
Entire airport, yeah.
Holy fuck.
I mean, good for you for getting the job back though.
Well, I'm lucky I had seniority, right?
Yeah.
It's just so weird and we're very slow. I think I sold like, you know, I'm not complaining, but I think I sold like $600 all weekend. Like it's just dead. It's dead because it's the airport, right?
And yeah.
And also, you know, we're relying a lot on guests to be to be okay with being out and banning out, right? Like some people are totally into it. Like obviously you guys have been really busy and you guys have been busy at the hotel. But for people who are, say, traveling, it's a different, when you're coming from a different country, it's a different expectation, right?
Yeah, totally.
And, you know, also the other thing for us, not to talk about my job for too long, but we rely so much on American clientele.
Right.
It's probably, I would say, between somewhere between like 55 and 60% of our summer clientele.
Crazy.
We have two, we have not only fishing and hunting, and as well as cruise ship season. So we don't have any of that, like zero of that.
So the, so you guys probably feel a lot of that with what you're dealing with the tourists.
Very much so.
Yeah.
I mean, we found a way of like, I've heard that there's quite a few Americans coming through now as well. Like I heard that from.
But they're not supposed to.
There's more.
They're not supposed to, but there's quite a few. Yeah. So we haven't really got any in at the Diamond, but I've heard of other establishments that they've been seeing more and more people coming through. I know that they're not really lifting restrictions as far as like crossing borders until end of July, right?
It's going to be like 2021.
They're going to extend that.
Yeah. I mean, that's what they said now, but they keep extending it. So they'll definitely keep extending it. I hope.
Well, and they're supposed to, a part of that is that they're supposed to self-isolate for 14 days.
Yeah. Which they're not. Well, the only reason why
we have contact tracing. So as long as we're diligent in terms of the places that these people visit by getting their information, then that's contact tracing.
That's what we're doing. Yeah. That has to be like,
you guys have like a slip or something.
We do. Yeah.
Some put them in the computer.
We have a little weightless me kind of app. And then we also do like the tracking down of like writing it down, like at least one.
I hope everybody's doing that, by the way, who's, you know,
I think you have to
running a restaurant. I think it's mandated, but
Is it like, I heard that like the name and number, it's not
email though.
But you have to get some sort of contact. Yeah,
well, exactly. I heard that the mandate from BC government was name, number, first name, last name, name, and an email address, all of those. But then I heard the other day that it's either or. It's like number or email address. Like who's going to, and also like, it's kind of not foolproof because like who's, like you could write down a wrong digit or something like that, right?
Or you can give you the wrong digit.
Yeah. So the best thing is if you have a POS system or not like a reservation system like OpenTable or whatever, that can actually trace it back to an actual legitimate person, right?
Yeah.
What have your guests been saying since you've been open? Like how do they feel? How do your guests feel?
How we feel as
like,
far as
like your guests, how do they feel? Like what are they talking to you? Do they feel comfortable? Do they feel good? Do they feel
so far it's been really great. Yeah. Like people are positive, they're happy, they've been engaging. We've been getting a lot of new clientele. I think a big part of it is like I extend the hours for OpenTable. We should never do rezos. And then in the last few years we decided to do rezos early in the evening. A big like incentive. It was like summer hours, right? Like we never really get that like hit right away when it's summer because it's so nice out and people are obsessed with patios as they should be.
Yeah.
So we did that and then it worked really well. And then after like the world after COVID, we're kind of like, okay, well, should we try to extend and encourage three seatings with walk-ins in between? So we did that. So this past weekend, we had so many new faces and people were just excited. Some of them never even seen us or heard of us. It was kind of interesting to like have, you know, we're like, well, we've been here for 11 years, but we are a hidden gem. Like, you know, if you're walking by at like 4 p.m., we don't have our sign out yet because we open at 6 now, right? Mm-hmm. So people don't even wonder to look up. You know what I mean? It's kind of crazy, but.
You guys have your guest cap, like only 6 people?
We do,
table?
Yeah. Six max, yeah.
Yeah, we had Sunday, we had a group call up and they're like, well, there's 7 of us.
Yeah, I know. Lots of 7 tops came up,
And then you have to split them, right? It's like 3 and 4. So decide who your best friends are in the group, I guess. And consider that
But see, that's where I'd have so much fun. I'd be like, so what we're going to do is actually 6 of you get to sit together and you get to pick the loser of the group. And we're going to
Put
them
the last person that confirmed the rezo.
So you guys
get your own solo table.
I want you guys all look at each other.
Then one person's like, yes, I got to sit at the bar by myself.
Yeah, I would actually enjoy
that. That'll be me. Yeah.
But even if it's a child too, even if it's a newborn.
Yeah.
Still, it's if you're a human being, the cap is 6 no matter what.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And it's funny, like, and this is the only thing that was slightly challenging that I've noticed. We've had a group, like groups coming up and like everybody's been very understanding, but there's one or two groups that were like not super understanding. And I just had to be like, it's for everyone's safety. No, it's for you guys' safety too. People normally get it, but like lots of 7-8 tops rocked up.
How much are you enjoying wearing those masks?
Not gonna lie, the first couple nights were really challenging. When I saw you on the opening night, I've got these masks that Josh had given me. Oh, it was really tough. Like the one mask that he had given me was like one that the gooseneck crew is wearing it. And I didn't realize, but my face is small in the bottom here. Like, so I was talking to you guys and I would feel my mask going lower. So I kept like this, like try to like, and I was like, this is not great. And then the second day around, like one of my servers, Blast Kate, she's amazing. She's like a fashion designer. So she made us masks. So she like saved a day. She like gave me one of these masks and I've been wearing a couple of her masks and kind of like, and I'm used to it now, full on. Like I'm used to it.
It just gets itchy when you get hot.
I don't ever touch my face. I got to say, I'm very proud of myself. I've been doing really well with that. But I do go to the bathroom once in a while, take it off and just like breathe out and like wash my hands and like put it back on. And like, it's challenging for sure. And I think for bartenders it's been challenging too, because it's so
taste.
Exactly. So they don't normally, but once they do, they would just, I mean, they normally would, but like now they haven't. So they would just kind of do a sneaky, like, you know, take off. And I'm like, let's just like nail down the specs on these classics.
Yeah, we're in a different, like, you don't need taste anymore, man. Like, fuck that shit. Like,
totally. So when I worked at Chowinson, my old boss, Jordan Stewart, would say it to me all the time. He's like, why do you have to taste? I'm like, well, I got to make sure the drinks.
You're like, what do you mean?
He's like, well, how shitty are you at your job?
Yeah, right.
I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, well, if you make the drink and you make it with the specs, why do you need to taste it every time? I'm like, you're totally right.
But
it's kind of a thing. You just,
well, there's variances. And,
unless you're making a new cocktail
one time.
No, and it's also, it's hard because it's a lot of the bartenders, like the guys we have there right now and girl, they're very, they've been doing it for quite a while. So they know a lot. Like they're super like talented. But like a lot of the times, like I don't like free pouring. Like I always encourage them to like, you know, measure everything properly. But like if they're doing a dealer's choice, right? Like even though a lot of bartenders, I'm sure you can tell, you know this and you too, like they already have in their heads, like, you know, I try to like steer dealer's choice to classics rather than be like sweet with ginger, no lemon. Like Barton's like, what the hell? But like, I'm like, you know what? What about just a brown derby? You know what I mean? Like, but they still like, they would get creative with their own and then they would try it. You know what I mean? Like, and
wait, so it's hard. They don't measure now at the Diamond, do they? Or do they free pour?
They measure it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They don't free pour anymore?
No, it's been a bit, yeah.
Why?
I think variances. You know, like inventory, just kind of trying to like get everything.
Did you notice a difference? One?
Yeah. Well, you started off because we kept getting these variances in vodka. And I was like, we don't really like vodka here. Like, what is going on?
I thought there was no vodka at the Diamond.
I know, but I don't ever say these words.
Initially, there was no vodka at the Diamond, right?
Well, there's always vodka at the Diamond, but like you would lose a finger if you ring it in a vodka soda. Ron would personally cut it off your hands.
Do you guys sell a lot of those now?
We do, yeah. I mean, really? You know what? This is my take on it. Like, I think I get the whole, like, it's a background spirit, you know? If you're wanting something exciting, it's never going to add that flavor. But and then I realized, but that is also what people want about vodka. You know what I mean? It's that experience. So I think we're in hospitality. We should be able to encourage people to try something new, but also
give the guests what they want.
Not shame them on, like, liking what they do. You know what I mean? I mean, like, I think we've all got a phase where we're shitty drinkers, you know, and like some people still are shitty drinkers forever, you know. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's not even that.
Mickey, what's your shitty drink when you're drunk?
Shitty drink? I've been drinking a lot of cider lately.
Cider? No, like, ciders are not shitty though. No, ciders are good.
No, but I'm saying when you're drunk and you want to like, you know, when people say like they drink, because this is what happens at the hotel, people drink and they'll start with a cocktail, they'll start with a Manhattan, and this, and then they'll eventually move to vodka sodas.
Yeah.
You know, so what do you move to?
Okay. Oh, man.
Are you just a straight lager guy at the end of the night?
Honestly,
straight vodka guy.
No, lager.
Lager.
Oh, it's I was like, what? Oh, who?
Straight vodka.
I mean, no judgment. Like, I drink straight gin. I love gin.
Straight gin. Give me number three on ice.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
But I don't really drink. I'm never really out at a place to drink that much.
Yeah. Right?
Like, I'd like to drink at home. That's my like my comfort zone.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I have a cocktail, it's usually, we've been out a couple times and had Manhattans and stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm the same. I like my spirits neat.
Yeah.
Like maybe that's one ice cube.
Yeah. I don't drink very much either.
So Mickey, we were just to
he's got a sly look on his
do a little.
I don't trust them.
So me and Mickey and our good friend Tristan went to Kisa Tanto about two weeks ago. Nice. We sat down. We had a very civilized dinner. We sat in the hot tub in the back in the bar, and we're chatting with James. And we were we had some food, and we had a bottle of wine. We were being distinguished gentlemen. Friday night, it was fantastic. I loved being in that room. That's my.
It is a beautiful
for a restaurant. I love that.
Yeah. Same.
We left. What happened to us after we left, Mickey?
Oh, I don't want to talk about that.
Why not?
We just found some. Because, man, I don't know. We found some money in the street.
We found $980 on the floor.
Holy shit.
On the street.
Yeah. I mean, you can really, like, it's money.
I know, how are you gonna, like, I kind of feel bad about it.
But how can you track that down, though?
We walked outside.
How would a person would track it down?
We walked outside.
We could just give it to the first homeless person we saw. Yeah.
Yeah, you could give some to some.
I know, I felt a little bit bad.
No, you both are not working. You weren't working
like,
at the time.
And then you go,
I know,
like,
and I'm like, I need money right now.
So and
I'm
then like, you go back to that day, and he's like, woohoo! I was like, didn't feel bad at all. I was like,
we're walking outside, and then Tristan, Mickey's like, what is that? And Tristan thought it was puke, and then Mickey's like, oh my God. He's like, I think that's money. And we looked at it. It was like,
I was
it was
like,
all 20s.
Yeah.
All 20s.
Drug dealers.
Well, because there was this, no, there was two people around, so I just kind of stood there, like, confused on why there was, like, all this money in the street. And then, like, these guys.
Me and Tristan, Mickey's like, should we pick it up? And me and Tristan already are picking it up.
All right.
One second.
Like, we were like,
not even.
And then Tristan's holding this wad. It's all in his 20s. It's all wet. And I'm holding it. I'm like, holy fuck, that's a lot of money. It's like,
It was weird. I mean, it was such a weird night because it was the first night that Kiefer was open. So we went and saw our friend Panya.
Nice.
Shout out to Panya for listening. I know they had a few drinks. They have the hanging plexi.
It looks weird. Good in there, huh?
I gotta go.
It looks good. If it fits, yeah. I think it fits like the vibe of the place. Like, you're actually getting this cool reflection off of this plexiglass from like all the weird, like,
anatomy stuff.
And, I think it adds some interesting dynamics. Yeah. But we went to Kiso. They made me a vegan pasta. Shout out to James if you're listening.
Are you vegan?
I'm a vegan, yeah.
Nice. Very cool. Good for you.
Is it cool, really? Is it really cool?
I think so. I'm moving towards that. I was vegetarian for like most of my life growing up. Like, and then not to like, you know, go back and forth, eat fish here and there. But like, I'm moving towards a plant-based more too. And it just makes me feel better.
Yeah, like I'm like that. Like, I don't cook with meat very often. I'm like,
yeah,
pretty much. I don't eat meat very often, but like, you know, just once in a while when I go out, stuff
treat
like
it like a treat, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I just like to bug them about it. So.
Yeah, it's interesting though. Like, and you know what? A lot of people that have turned that to like to veganism, like they feel better, they look better, they age better. You know, like, I mean, I do believe that. You know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's true if you're like following the plant based model. But obviously, we live in Vancouver. There's a lot of really, really delicious comfort.
And
vegan
that's
food.
A very good point too. Not everybody's body is designed to it. You know, like I've known people that can really like digest well, like say veggies, and that can be actually like, you know,
it can cause health problems.
Yeah, for sure. Though I'm kind of more towards what you're saying. Like, you know, I eat very little meat,
like two or three days of the week. That's good, but
probably once or twice for me.
Is helpful to the system, right? Mm-hmm. Because the less people that are consuming, not just meat, but like shitty meat, like factory farm meat, like fast food, right? It's even if you're just doing it twice a week, but you're making sure you're getting your meat from really quality sources.
That's
and
it. Great.
That's a huge, huge help.
That's also going to be
beneficial to your body as well. But
yeah. Well, I mean, one of the things that I've really enjoyed doing when I'm at home, I don't really watch that much TV. I watch like two things. I watch Seinfeld and Mad Men all the time. That's all I watch, just on repeat. But I watch a lot of YouTube videos. And I was watching a thing in the United States how they're talking about like how Trump made the meat industry as like a essential service. So they had to keep the factories open even though they were getting a lot of COVID outbreaks, a lot of them.
Mm.
And, you know, you look at big companies like Tyson and Cargill, and they're the big factory farm companies. Yeah, they're horrible. They're awful.
Yeah.
And the CEOs of these companies are coming on and they're talking about all these things and like how they need these things. And it's like, as someone who's like come to learn a lot about the industry and learn about like a lot of like one thing that kind of COVID has exposed a lot about our society is like a lot of our flaws, things that are, there's a lot of cracks in our society. And you see a lot of that with our industry, a lot of the how we get our food, a lot of as someone who's a vegan, you learn a lot about these things. It's just really eye opening to understand like how awful the agricultural system is. And how it's run, and big companies like Tyson and Cargill and stuff like this. And you know, we've read books, we've talked about stuff like this with eating animals, and it's just like, you know, it is one of those things in the back of my mind. Even when I do eat meat now, that like I still have this thing in my head. I'm like, how is this raised and processed and taken care of?
Yeah,
and you know, like it's this weird thing. But then your brain is just like, yeah, but I still like eating. You know.
Yeah, I think it's crazy. Like I'm. Love nutrition. Like I went to, like I've always loved science and stuff like that. And like I got into like a rabbit hole like a few years back, like a while actually, with this whole idea of like, you know, not just the consciousness of like the actual like what it involves, but also what it does to your body, you know, and how it's processed. And us as humans, our biology is not really meant to digest, like flash, to digest
meat. Dairy especially.
Totally. Yeah. Like, so then like for me, for example, I've always been a super allergic person. The moment I cut dairy out, my allergies are gone. And it's like right away, like you feel like a lot of little things and then you learn a little bit about that all. And even if you're getting a really good source, you still like have the aspect of the actual like meat in your body. You know, like you look at yourself in a tiger, like a gorilla in a tiger. Like we don't really have sharp teeth or like our intestines are so long. You know what I mean? Like, and all of these things are like hints from our biology that we're not maybe made designed to like be digesting meat, you know? And like a lot of chronic illnesses, I believe, are connected with mm-hmm. nutrition. I mean, 100% I believe in that, you know? It blows my mind. Medical school doesn't have nutrition in it, but...
Is that something you would do outside of what you currently do?
Yeah, I'm obsessed with it. I went to school for like holistic nutrition a little while ago. And like I've always really liked it. And I just kind of, yeah.
So what's in your fridge at home?
In my fridge? Lots of veggies. It might not be super interesting for some, but veggies and like oat milk and, you know.
Do you have a weakness?
A weakness?
Chocolate?
Lately, I've been eating rice cakes with Nutella.
You're a big fan of Nutella?
I know. I wasn't really. Like, love I bought Nutella. It recently and I've had it before, but I bought it recently and now it's become like my bad treat, you know, like whenever I'm like being... like bad.
No, that's like not that bad of a treat, so good for you.
I mean, it's Nutella.
I used to buy Nutella and I would
it's more like Nutella with a rice cake rather than a rice cake with Nutella.
Exactly.
I would buy Nutella and I would open it up with a spoon and I would just eat the whole thing.
Yeah.
Oh my God. My first experience with Nutella was when I first moved to Canada 14 years ago. I was at a friend's house. We were really high on acid and I found in her cupboard and she's like, you never had it? And I literally had this solo trip with Nutella. I was like eating it and I was like, this is amazing.
You soul bonded with Nutella?
I literally had a bonding experience with Nutella. She's like laughing so hard. She's like, oh my God, you're like, love this. And I was like, I love this. Like I like literally had a moment. Like that was my, I just couldn't believe it existed. I was like, this is pretty amazing. Like we don't have shit like that back home.
Yeah.
What?
No, we don't. I mean, now you do probably. You can buy it like imported stores. But like I never grew up eating Nutella or peanut butter. Mm. So I had a moment with
peanut butter is not a thing in Brazil.
No. Nope.
What? Oh my God.
So I was very, very like eating it like pure. Like so
what's a Brazilian breakfast then?
We eat like lots of fruit, coffee. Some people would have eggs, but it's not super common. Like here. Like here you have like I never
There's
had
not
bacon.
A lot of dairy
before
down there, right?
What is that?
Not a lot of dairy down there.
Some people do have like there's more milk alternatives now than ever. But like right. people are still like, some people still like drink milk and stuff like that. And like some people still eat tons of cheese and stuff like that. But at my house, my mom was always very conscious about that. Like the classic breakfast would definitely be coffee, fruit. And some people have like sandwiches and stuff.
Ooh, that's right up my alley.
Yeah.
Eggs? Meh.
Now, a lot of people feel like that way about eggs. I don't mind them. But like I also kind of go back and forth with eggs. I'm like... Are they as bad as cigarettes as the documentary says? Or like, I never really freaking know with eggs. You know what I mean? So many people, so many things. Like even my teachers in school were like different ideas on it. And like, I still think that they're probably like not great, but yeah, it's hard to move away completely. But
yeah, I think what you said earlier about everyone's biological makeup being different is really important.
Totally.
I think that's one thing people kind of miss out on, but it's kind of the culture we live in where like we're obsessed with these fix-all scenarios.
100%.
Like, I live by this one metaphor, like tomorrow is another day and like that's going to fix everything, or like this one keto diet is going to fix everything.
Those
or
are
like
dangerous
the intermittent fasting is going to fix everything. It's like just find out what works for you is probably the best.
And then you go to like other cultures and you see people that live until they're like 110 and they like drink wine and they're around their friends every night and they like listen to music and they're happy. Like, totally. You probably live until you're like 200 years old and look like you're like 10. It's crazy. It's amazing. Yeah. You look amazing.
It's that rock and roll lifestyle.
Oh my God. Like drugs, rock and whatever. What did they say? Like
it's sex, drugs and rock and roll, I think.
Sex, drugs and rock and roll.
I think.
I know he laughed at Diamond the other day because he was going to like, you know, sex, drugs and rock and roll.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And that whole one glass of wine, that whole one glass of wine a week, or sorry, a day thing was kind of like debunked a few years ago. But
okay,
my mom still thinks it's true. So,
well, my dad is a cardiologist. And
that's a cardiologist?
He is. Cool. And he totally like revamped the whole thing. He was like, nope, there's a component in real grape juice that is really good for your heart. Nothing to do with alcohol. I was like, ah, I knew it was too good to be true. Something in there.
I'm of the sort when it comes to like nutrition and how you take care of yourself is just eat what you want to do.
Yeah.
In moderation.
Yeah.
Also, just be cognizant of what you put in your body in the sense of like, you know, eat healthy. I always try to eat stuff that has a lot of color.
Yeah, yeah, that's good.
Which is something I try to look forward to. I generally like to eat stuff that's healthy for you. My breakfast is 2 pieces of toast, peanut butter, and like lots of fruit, mango, kiwi, banana. They're right there. Banana, you know, like lots of stuff like that and just fruit.
Yeah.
It makes me feel good.
Yeah.
I look at food as like, some people look at food as like a flavor thing. I look at food as like, how is it going to make me feel?
100%.
So like, I like to be active. I like to have energy and I like to do those things. Yeah. So that's just how I look at food.
Yeah.
And if I wanted some chocolate, which I definitely have, anyone knows me really well, I have a really big sweet tooth. Nice. If I want some chocolate, I need some chocolate. It's like, it's, and if I want a glass of wine, I'm going to have a glass of wine. It's just like, you know, do what, you know, I always feel this idea, like if you restrict yourself, you're probably just going to fall off the wagon and you're going to yo-yo if you go on these diets all the time.
Like hardcore dieting, right?
Yeah. Like just eat normally.
Yeah.
Just take care of yourself and just live a pretty, you know, but, you know, moderation. You know?
I think that goes even to like thinking, like the thoughts that you have, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like you can, I really believe that you can turn around the way that you're like, when you're eating something with guilt, I really believe that that will affect your body in a much poorer way than if you're eating the same thing with pleasure.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
You really like it goes back to the whole placebo thing, right? Like, why do you think it works? Because you really believe in it. Like, the power of the mind is crazy when it comes down to stuff like that.
And I was saying this to a couple of girls the other day at work. And hopefully my boss at Joe Winston is not listening, but one day
you can edit that, right?
on a really busy day at Joe Winston, it was like a busy summer day, and the patio was packed and the restaurant was packed, and I was getting my ass kicked. I was kind of irritated. I was just irritated with people. So I just gave everyone, on a brunch afternoon, I gave everyone decaf coffee.
Oh, what an ass.
Placebo effect. No complaints.
No one complained.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they probably already had. Well, but you know, there's a tiny, tiny amount of real caffeine in decaf coffee. It's crazy. Like the power of the mind. You can really like, you know.
Buddhist and Hindu teaching teach you that the positive energy that you put into the universe
comes
back at you, right?
And I feel like that when I travel places, like a lot of people are like, oh my God, Toronto, people in Toronto are not very friendly. I'm like, really? I had a great time in Toronto. Everybody was dope. Yeah. Or like anywhere I go, people be like, ah, okay, Portland is very like, well, like I've heard for so many different people whenever I go, because I love traveling, whenever I go to other places, or like Paris, people are like, oh, you don't speak English, you don't speak French, you're going to have a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
I did not have a hard time. I, in fact, like befriended with a lot of people and like I just full on like, you know, communicate via showing or like, you know, and like I didn't really have a bad time, you know, and like I think it's because a lot of people already maybe go thinking like, oh, Toronto, like people are like blah, blah, blah. And then they just portray that, like, you know, I don't know.
Leticia, this is our 50th episode. How dare you bring this positivity on here?
Oh, no.
This is a cynical podcast.
It's the truth, though.
I think we're both pretty positive.
He's going to definitely edit this, though.
I know,
he's like, oh, this is too nice.
It's true. Hey,
it's legit, though. It's a real experience. Yeah.
What you're saying is 100% true. If there's any time to really like make a meaningful effort to try to think positive, it's like right fucking now.
Yeah.
Because the world needs a lot of positivity.
So I sent out to you guys yesterday, you know, Scout posted this. I know you didn't want to talk about it, but Scout posted.
We can talk about it.
Scout posted, you know, like on, they do their intelligent briefs.
Yeah.
Every Monday, you know, Talia does this stuff and like on it. So they basically just like all this, you know, if you look at it right now, it's, we're recording on Tuesday. Yesterday was Monday, but like, you know, they're talking about all this stuff. Like people are having trouble. Like there's a lot of people who are against putting on masks.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff going on. And like, you know, a lot of the Black Lives Matter stuff going on out there. You know, just a lot of like, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world right now that's very struggling. And I wonder, are people losing sight of what we're talking about? It's like, you know, just to putting out a good vibe, you know, even during a tough time.
I think that should be the foundation to go through all of it, to be honest. I think like there's no really better way to like, because to be fair, like a lot of the things that I think we're seeing now have always existed to a certain level, but it's coming to like, it's been filmed. It's coming to surface. So for me, even though circumstances are the worst with that all, I think it's bringing to awareness. Like I think we're all waking up, and it's been a process that I believe it's happening a lot with like food consumption, media, you know, like more and more, I don't know if it's only my circle, I'm sure you guys can relate too, like you're seeing this awakening of people and we're just learning that we have the power and we have, you know, we're the majority in a community that we have this voice that we can actually like fight for and stand up for, you know, and like it's really cool to see, you know what I mean? Like even though, again, it sucks that it had taken this long with all of it, but I think people are definitely waking up to a lot in the last like couple years even, you know, like.
Yeah, it seems like it. For me personally, I've noticed, especially in the celebrity world and the people who have quote unquote, you know, the platform to, you know, speak out and create change.
Yeah.
Like if you look at, we're big NBA basketball fans, like the entire NBA was like Black Lives Matter and like doing every single thing to support. Yeah. So many NBA players donated to the NCAAP defense fund.
Yeah.
Like I just haven't seen this kind of inclusion or people's willingness to put themselves out there and make their opinions known. So that's a great, great thing. I think one of the most important things for people to remember is, and I've been doing this myself over the last month and a half as I've been on Instagram, because we were talking about it before, is culture. So like in your friends and circle groups, like we all know that, you know, person who has that always just wants to say that little racist comment or is like that little sexist comment or whatever. And then, and you let that slide, right? Because you don't want to be in a situation that's uncomfortable. But I think what a lot of people are realizing now is it's actually way more detrimental to the goal of, you know, equity versus equality for us to be calling out those people on a day-to-day basis, right? Yeah. Like whether it's your family or your friend circle or your work circle or whatever, we're at a point now where like, if you're fucking racist or sexist or fucking a piece of shit or whatever, like that's not going to cut it anymore in society. And like, it's up to us.
Yeah, totally.
To call people out. Not only that, continually in a mindset of positivity and also self-education. That never stops, right?
Never.
You can't be like this like Instagram warrior who posts fucking, you know, who is an ally for like a month on Instagram and then goes out and has brunch with her friends or like goes out to play basketball with his buddies and continues in not calling out people who are being overly.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing too. Like it's such like a, sorry to interrupt you, but like it's such like a, such a social fabric and it's systematic, you know? And I think a lot of us always, like I've had friends, I grew up with friends making fun, like making homophobic comments and thinking that that's funny or being like, oh, that's so gay. Like, or like, you know,
even the word retard, which, sorry to say that.
Yeah.
But that's what we said when we were kids.
Yeah.
When I was kids, you said gay and you said retard. Those were things you say.
Yeah.
Now we know that you don't say those things anymore.
Totally. And that's the thing too. I think there is a big thing of understanding how we're evolving culturally and like also as society. Like there's, as you guys know, this whole thing with Gassy Jack, right? Like every day that I'm there during the daytime, I'm there a lot during the day and there's like protests. And I actually had a few friends that were part of it. And like, there's tons and tons and tons. And then I love that there's that consciousness, but I do also think that we as society are moving towards understanding different, holding that accountable, but understanding that, you know, we're all coming this way. You know what I mean? Like my great-great, like mother, like was married when she was like, I don't know, like 16 or something. Like, you know what I mean? Like that is crazy. But like also it was the case back then. Mm. And we're evolving as you know, a community, as a society to understand that these things aren't, you know, where we want to be. And like, yeah, it's just, it's a lot for sure.
Yeah. Look at the rock and roll in the 50s, man. Like a lot of those.
Oh my God.
Famous icons were like marrying underage women.
Oh, not okay. All of them. Like and I'm very like funny like that. Whenever I find out something very strong about like a band or I get very upset that I can't really listen to them anymore. So sometimes, sometimes it's tough though, right? Like, you know, like,
like Michael Jackson.
Yes.
Uncle Jackson, R. Kelly. Like, you
R. Kelly,
don't listen to that shit anymore.
No, Kelly don't play at the dime. Doesn't play at the dime anymore. I actually had a heated conversation with one of the staff back in the day because every time he would play it, I would go and turn it off. It's like, we're not playing this stuff here. Like, it's just, and then it's hard 100%. Like to not think about it. Like, how can you, you know? Yeah. But like, there's so many, like Jimmy Page and like Marvin Gaye and like Elvis Presley, like all of those guys like dated.
Jimmy Page married young?
Well, they had a girlfriend that was like, I think 13 years old.
13?
14 years old, yeah. And he was like, yeah, I know.
I just read like on CBC the other day, they're saying that like child pornography is like on the rise now because of COVID. I'm like, what?
Child pornography, sex trafficking. These things are real.
These like, things, I was just going to say.
They're real.
These are real. Yeah.
What is wrong with people?
Yeah, but that's the thing. The point is that.
It's coming to surface now.
Even if you don't, it's coming to the surface, but also even if you aren't exposed to in your day-to-day life, the people that you associate with and the news sources that you go on, doesn't detract from the fact that this shit is happening.
Yeah.
So people need to take accountability on their own to enact change in every facet of life, right? Because just turning a blind eye to it and just saying like you can't understand how it's happening, like doesn't detract from the fact that it's fucking happening.
And if you look at into like, not to get in a rabbit hole with all, but like if you look into Hollywood, we're like, whoa, my life, I live in the rabbit hole. I feel that like, you know, like if you look at into like Hollywood, like that's what we've been listening to and hearing. And like, there's just so much. Now there's like the Jeffrey Epstein, like Epstein. And
Jesus
like,
Jesus fucking Christ.
That like, but that always existed. You know what I mean? Like, and now it's coming up to, and I was so happy to see that on Netflix because it's such like a popular rap, like channel. And like, you now have like the Clintons and all these other people like being exposed. It's just, it's crazy because it's just like, you got to be conscious about it. It's not to make your life or world darker, but it's our responsibility to be aware of it and informed. You know what I mean? Like,
we just had David Eby on the show last time. And the last thing he said to us was that people who are on city council and people who are in government, like on a local level, they listen when you email them and when you call them, they listen.
Yeah.
And that's how things change. Like he's like, he said it in the show, he's like, please email me, please call me. Not just in relation to all the restaurant stuff and the patio stuff and all, you know, the new pricing structure, but for everything, the more people say this is what we want. Like you said, I think one of the first things you said is we have the numbers majority. Like,
yeah, totally.
If everyone in the world all of a sudden was like, okay,
we have the power.
If everyone, there was like some Facebook page or some IG account, everyone's like, all right, everybody in the world, like everybody, every human, everyone just stop buying from Amazon.
Yeah.
Amazon would be closed in like a week and Jeff Bezos would go bankrupt. Yeah. Like that's the power that we have.
Even though he's now the richest man in the world.
Yeah. Well, he would find some way to funnel some funds.
Hold on.
But anyways, in terms of from community-wise, speaking community, which is where what COVID has put us into, let's make the community strong.
Yeah.
And let's make we have what we want in our community because we can't rely on U.S. tourism anymore, right?
Yeah, well, I agree.
Eventually we will be able to, but...
Cut you off,
Jamie.
No, it's good.
We're like, we're fixing the world's problems right now.
I mean, as much as we, you know, this, I think one of the great things about this whole 20 shit year that we've had, 2020, is the fact that a lot of good has come out of it in the sense of 100%. Like, I mean, COVID has been a very difficult thing for a lot of people and a lot of industries and our industry specifically. All this stuff coming to light, you know, the fact that people are not afraid to talk about these things now and we're putting... You know, we're, you know, if someone casting a light on someone, if you've done this to me numerous times, when if I say something, you're going to call me up for it now. But it's good. I mean,
it's good. It's educational
saying it's like how our society is evolving. And I feel like we've taken a big step this year, especially as Mickey and I are privileged white males. And sometimes we don't realize the position that we sit in. I think it's been a very good thing for our society to be like, hey, you know what? This is unacceptable now.
Yeah. And it's very much so in the way that whoever, like, you know, shares the privilege, they won't know because that's part of the privilege itself. You don't know, right? You don't feel it, like, meaning. You know?
Well, and Louis C.K. said it best.
Or you don't feel it or you choose to be willfully ignorant of it.
100%, but like,
those are two different things.
Totally,
right?
Totally.
And both need to be addressed.
Like Louis C.K., I mean, I was going to say, like, for as shitty as he's been.
Also a piece of shit.
Yeah, he said it on one of his comedy shows. He's like, oh, white people, oh, we're going to get fucked in the ass in the future. Like, it's our turn to get.
It's our turn, man.
You know, it's our turn.
You got to embrace it.
Yeah,
it's like our turn. Embrace it.
It's our turn.
Don't fight it.
Everybody else is like, no, you guys have been on top for a long time.
There's a concept called, I don't know if you guys heard of this, it's called generational trauma.
Yeah.
So it's in the field of psychiatry and psychology?
Psychiatric.
It's a psychiatric term.
Yeah.
And it means that you can have trauma passed down to you from stuff that your great, great, great ancestors did, right?
Yeah.
So if you extrapolate that theory to like on a scale of like global, like, and what, you know, has happened, all the atrocities that have happened over the years, then there's a strong possibility from a scientific standpoint that we are all, as white people, experiencing a lot of generational trauma from all the shitty shit that fucking parents have done for a long time. And that's something that's like, that's real, that you have to like be able to like be open-minded about and accept, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it also probably changes the physiology of your brain, therefore makes it genetic in some levels, right? Mm-hmm. Like when you're going through some,
Yeah, the same part of your brain that's stimulated when your ideals are confronted with an argument. Like say, for instance, it's something as simple as like, I think fucking the Strokes suck. Whatever, like that's a low scale.
Jamie loves it.
And no, we like, love the Strokes.
Okay,
we're like the only two people I know who like their new record this year.
I love the new record. It's really good.
I will.
It's fucking good.
I think it's amazing.
I think it's really good.
I think it's way better than Pyramids and whatever their other one was.
Room on Fire.
No, well, Room on Fire and is to say they're the two best records. And then I like their third one a lot. You and I like that one.
Yeah.
But then their next two, I think, was. Pyramids, and then I can't remember the other one, but I think it's better than those two.
Okay, I'll check it out.
Yeah. So that level of disagreement is minor, right? But when you see something like Donald Trump is racist, the part of your brain that gets enacted is the same part of your brain that is linked to trauma, right?
Oh, interesting.
So it's like, does someone really believe that slavery was okay?
Yeah.
If you're like a normal, rational, fucking thinking human being, no, you probably don't think that's the same.
Well, have you ever watched... Outer Right on Netflix is a documentary about like alternative right. And then it talks about the whole umbrella about like, you know, you have like
the outer left,
outer right, and then a neo-Nazi.
Yeah.
There are people that are extremely intelligent, like professors, Harvard people, that will bring up points on how slavery was necessary. It blows your mind. Like, check it out if you have the chance. I love watching things that like are you know, like that just instigate my brain, because I think it's important to know both sides so you can argue, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Properly.
You have to have the whole spectrum.
Yeah. And it's crazy. Like these people are extremely intelligent and they have like tons of points that they will make based on history and books. And you're just kind of like, it's crazy. Like, and huge followings.
Yeah.
And it's just,
it's crazy. So anyways, like
a lot of people do believe that.
Yeah. Like, and any sane, normal person who has a rational thought process, who believes in equity and equality and all this kind of stuff would be like, there's a universal wrong to that. Right?
Yeah.
So it makes you think like, why do these people think this way?
Yeah.
Because there's fucking a mental illness happening with them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's why we need to defund the fucking police.
Yeah.
Spread out that. I don't know if you heard, we were talking before off mic that Edmonton is rolling back 11 million over the next 2 years. And dedicating all those funds to, guess what? Community resources, mental health, after-school programs, women's shelters,
like
all the stuff that probably is causing a lot of mental illness and acting, allowing or letting people act in really like fucking insane ways.
Yeah, I heard that they're trying to do that in Vancouver with like getting like 1% of their like annual like earnings or something.
Yeah,
like
it's been vetoed in city council. There's like these two...
It's Sarah Kirby.
Yeah. So unfortunately, there's a lot of corruption in Vancouver City Council. Unfortunately,
two of them were married to police officers.
So there's a lot of pushback in Vancouver. Yeah. And Vancouver historically has been a city where a lot of white privileged people are on city council, and a lot of these things just don't get passed through.
Yeah.
So it's up to people listening. If you haven't voted for the defund thing, go and vote. I think it's at 8,500 votes.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah. And keep harassing city council, because like David Eby said.
They will hear.
They will listen to us, and we will slowly weed out these corrupt motherfuckers who are trying to, like, you know, control the system. Right?
He's so good, though. I love him.
He's the best, man.
He's fucking awesome.
Nice. For premier.
So, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Or as Tracy said, prime minister.
Oh.
Yeah,
prime minister.
Baby steps.
The mantra that you live by is what we all should live by, which is something that I think you're struggling with right now, is the fact that you are a hugger.
Oh. Yeah, that's true.
And I think people just need more hugs. And if anybody knows Leticia at all, she's a hugger. And Mickey's a hugger.
I'm a hugger. Yeah. You're not a hugger.
I'm not a hugger.
But
I've hugged you before.
I know.
Not now, not during COVID, just to be fair here.
But no, I mean, I'll accept hugs. I'm not really like
a, I accept hugs.
I'm not really a...
Forcefully, like, Jamie to hug me.
Come here.
Just like,
I get a look. I'm like,
So are you loving this time, Jamie?
I mean, it's kind of nice, but I mean, like, but I'm heartless, so
yeah.
That's okay. No, you're kind of.
But I mean, you know, at the end of the day, I think people just need more hugs.
People need more hugs. Yeah.
So, yeah. Unfortunately, it's important.
Has that been hard for you?
It has been hard for me. And I think the biggest thing has been just now reopening the diamond, like the amount of people that I realized I've trained to hug, you know, like regulars or friends or like that would just expect that kind of like welcome. And it's just weird now. I mean, I'm used to it. It took a few days, but like now I just do like this very frantically, like wave at them like, hi. And they kind of like get it. But like I've actually had a few people come and try to hug on the weekend and it was really like tough. And I had to be like, no.
But you're a good hugger though.
I give it like, yeah, I go for it. Like I believe the hugs are good and that you need to like, you know, I like it. It makes me feel really happy and connected. Like I love it. It's just
weird when people hug me because I feel all this weird like happiness and
see
and
that emotion. If you hug for over 20 seconds, apparently you get all these like really feeling good hormones released in your brain.
My body's just like, my body's
I'm
like,
going to hug you over 20 seconds after this whole thing is over and you tell me if it hasn't changed your life.
My body's like, there's all this ice inside. And it's just like, no, don't thaw. Don't
No, I feel
this.
Good. I don't want to feel good.
You'll get there.
It's part of his rock and roll personality.
Yes.
You got to play the part, right?
You have to.
What are you listening to these days?
Oh, so many things. It's just so hard for me to like,
She's
know?
A rock and roll girl.
I am. I've been listening. Okay, so I'm obsessed with this Brazilian rapper. I love punk and rock. I've grew up listening to it. My dad is huge into it. So that's why I kind of, you know, I've gone through, like gone towards that. But I also love rap. I love ska. I love a lot of things. So it really depends on the days. I've been listening to a lot of Oi Punk lately. Old Firm Casuals. I love those guys.
Old Firm Casuals?
Yeah. Do you know those guys?
I don't know.
No.
So the guy is actually the same guy that created Rancid, like Lars Fredriksson. Very good, pretty like fast paced, but like not so much street punk quite, like just more like skinhead in the good way. I know it's a hard straight edge. And it's hard to like say that word without people getting it wrong. So I avoid saying skinhead. I always say oi instead.
Yeah.
But it's actually the working class, has nothing to do with neo-Nazis. They just took over the style and sucks, like in the 80s. But yeah, I love Meat Puppets.
Oh, love. Love.
I love the Meat Puppets. I love Lion's Law. I love Alice in Chains. Alice in Chains is one of my OGs. I have actually a tattoo on my tights. Like I love Alice in Chains.
Oh, nice.
I love anything from the era. Like Ted. Have you heard Ted?
Mm-hmm.
Amazing band too. Like I love anything like from like…
You're a 90s girl.
Oh, 100%. Like late 80s, early 90s, Seattle scene. Like
Seattle.
Yeah, I actually never really got into them. I know, but like maybe I'm weird like that. Like, I don't know. Like there will be bands that I'm like, no. But like it's also like something that I'm working on. You know, like remember I was telling you like there's some bands that they become mainstream against their will. Like Nirvana is one of those bands. I love them.
Love
like
Nirvana.
Early Nirvana. Like I know all of their albums. I've had all of, like I love it. But like there's always this thing, I was like, oh man, they didn't want this, you know what I mean? Like yeah.
That threshold you cross for success that makes kind of turns people off.
Yeah, and but it's also like they're amazing. There's so much good music and like, you know what, maybe more people learn about it and that's why it became what it did. But like he also has, yeah, I don't know. There's something about it that kind of, you know, I always questions a bit, but it doesn't still, I still love it. I still like, if it feels good for me, I still go for it, you know? It's a feeling. Music makes me feel things.
Good.
I get excited. Like Social Distortion, love them.
Yeah.
Listen to like Mommy's Little Monster for like back to back all the time. And now like I got to take a little break from it.
Little Social D? Social D?
I saw them actually like last year or 2 years ago at a Commodore. Yeah. Mike Ness is funny.
For Mickey's birthday next year, I'm going to buy him Coldplay's first album because he…
Nice.
Just so he can burn it.
He's like…
Hey man, I think Green Eyes is a great song.
It's a great song.
Great song.
I just, every time
I bring it up. For those scientists, it's a beautiful song.
Every time I bring it up, Mickey just looks at me. She's like, I'm not going
to. The context you bring it up
he's
in.
He's like, he even says, he's like
wrong time.
No, he even says, he's like, I'm done. I'm not doing this podcast with you anymore.
Yeah. He just walks out, takes his own microphone and leaves.
If you bring up Coldplay one more time, I'm going
to
smack you.
I know, but I also need to stop being such a music elitist sometimes. I need to like really work on that.
So.
I think, you know what? You don't. Like, hey, this is where I stand with it all. I feel like everybody has the right to love what they do. And I used to be very particular. I get very offended if people like talk shit about something that I love. And I'm always like, yo, I'm not going to make fun of you for loving Taylor Swift. So please let me listen. Like I remember I had this encounter. I'm not going to name names, but like a few years ago, I love Sky and I was playing the specials. And one of the bartenders that I worked with back then is like, oh, this sucks. And I was like, what do you mean it sucks? Like, this is like, it's the foundation to so many different styles. Like, how can you say that something, it's like saying that you don't like t-shirts. Like, how you don't like t-shirts? Like, there's so many different styles with it. And like, it's like, well, it's just the sounds of it. It's just lame. And like, he happened to be a Taylor Swift fan. From Alberta. He probably knows who he is right now. And I was just like, man, you know what? Leave them alone. Like, I'm not going to even make fun of you for listening to shitty music. And then as soon as I said that, I was like, I'm like contradicting everything I believe in. Yeah. I'm like, there isn't shitty music. You know, it's what you like. And I'm sorry. But I got like angry inside. And I was just like, who am I right now? And I'm just like, so I've worked on that.
What you said at the very beginning of this was music gives people pleasure, right?
Yeah.
Like, and whatever 100%. It is for them. And then also what you just said there was like your reaction to something that you have idealistic
like even now
connection
I feel
to.
I'm feeling it right now.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
You got to check yourself good. Sometimes.
I did. And I do it all the time. All it's right. crazy.
Our next episode, we open with Coldplay.
Sure. Oh. I actually love Coldplay now.
So. I'm just kidding.
And Taylor Swift.
Well, if you've never been to the Diamond before, do check it out. The 38th best cocktail bar Woo! In the country, even though it's one spot. I don't think it's better than the Fairmont, though. But I'm just kidding.
Jamie, just let that go.
but yes,
I think it's
fantastic. Do check it out in Gastown, second floor, one of the most beautiful rooms in the city. Great cocktails. There's a great face there you're going to see. Her name is Leticia, this lovely lady we've been talking to today.
Cannot hug yet, but we'll hug you later.
Yes, she will give you a nice smile and wave, take care of you. They've actually, when we were there last time, very delicious charcuterie and cheese.
Yeah.
That they're offering right now. Very, very nice.
Thank you.
And you need to eat when you drink, I find.
Yeah, I didn't eat. I was just crushing ciders like no one's business. Yeah.
Those ciders are dangerous because they're nice and dry. So you can just like...
So right after you have a sip, you're like, oh, I want another sip. And after you have that sip, you're like, oh, I want another sip.
I have a story with that cider. Yeah.
And Leticia, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. You are our 50th episode. This is
50!
50.
We should also thank the listener because during this time of isolation and quarantine, we've had so much support from everybody listening. I want to thank everyone. 50 episodes. We're hopefully going to get to 100. Maybe?
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah, thanks.
As long as I stop talking about Coldplay.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, maybe some people like Coldplay. And again, I don't want to be elitist. So if you do like Coldplay and listening to this, that's good for you. That's great. Thank you for listening. Please share us with your friends. Visit our website, midrangevancouver.com. Check out our content. Check out Jamie's writing. Check out Tristan's writing. Just go to midrangevancouver.com and check us out.
Beats on Repeat.
Go to Beats on Repeat. Check out my other podcast. If you enjoy hearing my voice and you like music and film and craft beer.
Perfect. Sounds pretty cool.
Check it out.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, we thank you so much and have a good day.
Thank you.